order the Monday, November 7th, 2016 meeting of the Derry Township Board Supervisors. If everyone could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Weir.
Here.
Mr. Angus.
Here.
Mr. Corr.
Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Chairman Moyer.
Here. Thank you, sir. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Also, the Board of Supervisors met on November 1st, 2016 for an informational session with Matt Mendia and the township consultant Kimmel Bregret to discuss issues surrounding the proposed recreational center. The Board of Supervisors also met in executive session today to discuss land, personnel, and legal issues. At this time, I would like to invite the public to provide us with their public thoughts, comments. Anyone wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, please approach the podium and identify yourself by stating your name and your place of residence. And I ask that you be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Is there anyone that would like to avail themselves of that opportunity? No? If not, I would like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the public hearing of October 25th, 2016. So moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those minutes are approved unanimously. I also would entertain a motion to approve the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes from October 25th, 2016.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And the Board of Supervisors October 25th, 2016 meeting is hereby approved unanimously. First order of business, A1 through 4, is consideration of,
am I wrong?
I cannot believe
it. You got it right. It's the first time in 3 minutes.
Let me put that on the calendar, please. Consideration of adoption of ordinance number 682, which would amend chapter 225 zoning of the Code of the Township of Derry by changing the definition of the term sign and by adding a definition for the term attraction branding. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board's aware, tonight at 6 p.m., you had a public hearing for this ordinance amendment. The ordinance has been duly advertised and may be adopted tonight during your regular meeting. Just for those in the audience that weren't at the hearing, this would amend the definition of sign to allow attraction branding within the confines of Hershey Park and also add a definition for attraction branding.
Are there any questions for Mr. Emmerich on this particular issue?
Chuck, just so everyone here can hear it, could you please explain the difference between what we currently have in the process and what we would have if we adopted this?
Sure. So the definition of sign today is really all-encompassing. If it carries any advertising value at all, it is listed as a sign, or it's interpreted as a sign. And our ordinance goes on to make some exclusions then of what would not be considered a sign. And the things that the ordinance excludes today are vegetation arranged or shaped in such a manner as depict a symbol or letter communication, and streetlights having shades which resemble Hershey Kisses. And of course, those are legacy items. They're items that give us our sense of place. In the same vein, we're looking at adding Hershey legacy-related artwork and any attraction branding affixed to the attraction within the confines of Hershey Park. And also noting that heritage type of non-advertising signs are not to be considered signs, and that's making way for in our new ordinance allowing murals.
Any other questions? By way of discussion, Charles, we did in fact have a public hearing on this moments ago, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment. which I'm sure you're shocked at, but I am concerned about two things. One is, of course, the fact that we as supervisors have very limited ability to influence certain things within the township outside the confines of zoning ordinances, and so therefore zoning ordinances are vitally important to the Board of Supervisors' ability to provide guidance and direction as to the way things progress within the township. Secondly, I'm very much concerned about the law of unintended consequences, and such that while we may be happy and content with the way certain things currently are, we need to be cautious about relinquishing our ability to be able to influence land use and development throughout the township via ordinances. My concern about this ordinance is that the Board of Supervisors could potentially be relinquishing a degree of an ability to influence certain signage, which could potentially impact upon quality of life of the residents, probably not along Hershey Park Drive because it's a major thoroughfare and it's sort of developed for that purpose. But given the anticipated expansion of Hershey Park, potential impacts this ordinance could have on attractions and venues more in more close proximity to the town. While I don't have any specific concerns, just in general, my concern would be that in the future, a ride or a venue, for lack of a better term, could be of a certain height with signage that could potentially adversely impact upon residents, whether it be through light pollution, distractions, or something that may not necessarily rise to the level of creating a liability on the part of the park, but just the quality of life issue. And that this ordinance would prevent us from having any degree of influence on whether we find a particular signage to be advisable or not vis-a-vis the quality of our residents' lives. So I've just thrown it out there for consideration and discussion among my colleagues here on the board as to their thoughts on relinquishing that ability versus putting our hopes and desires on HENR that they do the right thing moving forward.
And Chuck, as we've talked about during the public hearing, currently, if there would be a signed request, it would come through the zoning hearing.
So our sign ordinance is so broad in what it interprets as a sign, both the murals or signs on the outside of the indoor roller coaster came to the zoning board, as did the signs on next year's attraction, the drop towers, went to the zoning board. Because in our ordinance, save those few exclusions, and I did miss stained glass windows are not considered signs, but save those few exclusions, everything else by the terms of our ordinance is really considered a sign. So if it's carrying an image of words, it's considered a sign. So what this ordinance was meant to do, or is meant to do in part, is to prevent those sometimes unnecessary trips to the zoning board. Because I don't know that anybody's opposed presently to the way that they're branding rides inside her. We'll still need to also address how we treat murals and where that line is. So, and this, again, is meant to address that legacy type, legacy related artwork is not considered a sign.
And in that regard, I guess the essence of my concerns are, what benefits to the township would this ordinance provide? And would those benefits outweigh the risk associated with the diminution in our ability to influence signage within the park?
So one thing,
sort of a philosophical.
One thing we're really trying to do in the new zoning ordinance is greatly reduce the number of trips to the zoning hearing board. You know, the reasons why people would go, to try and tailor it to be broad enough to allow reasonable things, but not as restricting as it is today in other areas, to better match the our landscape.
Chuck, would all, if you go down the list of the Kissing Tower, the, you know, all the high rides, I mean, would those all have come before the zoning hearing board?
So the Kissing Tower has windows in the shape of kisses. And of course it was constructed, it's one of the older attractions. I don't know the year. And this definition, at least I know, is in our 1993 zoning ordinance, the one we use today.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the Kissing Tower would have gone to a zoning, but I think by the terms of this ordinance, it could go to a zoning because it has kiss-shaped lights, and it's not, or kiss-shaped windows, and it's not a street light, which is what is
under our existing ordinance.
Under our existing ordinance.
Right, but not under the new ordinance.
Yeah, not under this modification. It would.
If it was modified, yeah.
I mean, that's a great example.
So can you, I mean, just talk us through, so I don't remember the five criteria that you need to meet to get a variance, but I know the first one is hardship.
Right.
Where's the hardship?
To get that variance, yeah. for the attraction granting?
All these things that, if we didn't pass this, all these things that would continue to come in front of zoning hearing board, can you truly say there's a hardship?
In many cases, the zoning board in these kinds of instances try to add reason, which if challenged, they would probably lose.
Right.
I can tell you my early days on the zoning board, as most of the board knows, I spent about 10 years there prior to being employed here. One of the first things we were confronted with was inside the bounds of the Milton Hershey School, they wanted to put up a 90-foot clock so it could be seen inside the campus and it exceeded the height of permitted buildings. We didn't think that that was the intention of the ordinance, granted the relief. But certainly there was no hardship, and that could have been challenged. That's the type of things that we're trying to avoid here, that you're right. It's hard to, you know, nobody's not wanting the park to do well or the park to be branded, yet it's difficult for them to operate in a competitive method manner under some of the terms of our ordinance with the branding today.
But by the same token, those requests, well, in terms of hardship, I haven't looked into the legal authority and decisional case law that talks about challenges to those or not. So I'll have to defer to you on that. But in terms of hardship, I mean, the reason, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason or the claimed hardship would be that a particular signage would inure to the economic benefit of the ride, and that the failure to permit this signage would result in not realizing the, I don't know, benefits that the sign would present. Is that essentially the argument?
So can I cautiously say I don't want to argue with an attorney because I'm not.
But
is that not one of specifically the hardship cannot be based on economic?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
all right. Correct.
Economics can't enter into the zoning.
So the argument is that if we do not pass this modification, it'll be difficult to legitimately have a sign based upon the current ordinance requirements for signage.
And I don't even know that I would call these signs. That's why we've used the term branding.
Okay.
You know, all of the things that you're concerned with, which would be lights and the appearance,
right,
and so on,
right,
can be done without the sign. You know, Skybrush, you can see from miles away.
Right.
you know, that they have the ability within the confines of the park to put in things that, that can be seen. This is really meant to allow them more freedom in providing the proper atmosphere, the atmosphere that they feel is proper to operate the amusement park.
Right.
You know, the lights on the rides, we don't regulate in any way or fashion in our ordinance. Yeah. We regulate lights that light parking lots and pedestrian ways.
Well, the example that I used amongst the board here was a relatively high venue that would be built on or around the recaptured land that's as high as the Kissing Tower or whatever. And I think I had a little drawing here that I used by way of illustration. You can see my artistic ability here. Incredible. So it's Van Gogh-esque with a sign on top that that said something with the name of the ride on top that is like really big and bright and is facing the town center. That's my concern, and that people are distracted and or reduces the quality of people living downtown by this repetitive flashing of the sign announcing what this ride is. That's one of the consequences that I'm trying to avoid, whereby that would almost be imposing upon town residents by virtue of its location and repetitive blinking or whatever they have there.
I think we all agree the likelihood of these things happening are slim to none, because they've been a tremendous corporate partner for forever, and I'm sure they'll continue to be a good corporate partner.
I hope, yeah.
So are we just saving them trips to the zoning hearing board? Is that kind of what?
That's certainly part of the intention.
Okay. Not there's anything wrong
because,
with that.
Because they're tough to bring to the zoning board, some of the things.
Okay.
You know, whether it's branding of a high ride or the branding on the outside of the indoor roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough things to bring to the zoning board. And you know, again, I'll use Skyrush because I just mentioned it. They could certainly put all the flashing lights on Skyrush by right.
Well, that's different than what the illustration that I provided. You know, the sign announces the name. So,
but they could put up a huge ride and have it blink and sparkle.
Oh yeah, they could line it with lights and all kinds of stuff.
Here
like that.
Any permission.
Yeah.
It's just,
right.
It's just the branding of the ride.
Right. So to your point, Chuck, it's like as far as the inconvenience and or nuisance characteristics of a ride can equally exist without having to invoke this ordinance and outside the purview of our control anyway.
That is correct.
Okay. So do we as Board of Supervisors want to vote on this ordinance this evening?
Okay.
All right.
John,
frankly, I've listened to the conversation with Brandon is, and I still don't understand.
So can we, I'd make a motion to approve it subject to John's review.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Mr. Abel, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor of said motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
We're going to move the order of the agenda around a bit and moving item C to our next order of business, approval of resolution 1487, authorize a streetlight service agreement for Park Boulevard and Chocolate World Way. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. PPNL now requires resolutions for the installation of street lighting and traffic signals. The resolution would allow for the installation of two LED streetlights on the traffic signal posts at Park Boulevard and Chocolate World Way. PPNL will be responsible for installation, maintenance, and operational costs of streetlights. And it's worth noting that if you look at the resolution, PPNL is actually working on a program to start replacing streetlights with LED lights. So this also gives them the ability to do that in the future wherever they so desire throughout their system.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Clark on this issue? If not, do I have a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve Resolution 1487 to install and service the streetlights on Park Boulevard?
So
moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Cork. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion is approved unanimously. Turning to the next item on our agenda, consideration of the extension of conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision plan for George
Savich. Thank you.
Savich, plat number 1163. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked to have these three items after each other because all three of these items are subject or have been subject to the Permit Extension Act. The Permit Extension Act was a piece of legislation that kind of froze the time on current approvals of permits, land development plans, and most any governmental approval. And it was enacted July 6th of 2010, the Permit Extension Act was. It became effective retroactively to any approvals granted from January 1 of 2009 to the present time, at the time, to January 6, 2010. There have been a couple amendments to the Act. The last amendment extended, second amendment extended the time period for plans subject to the Permit Extension Act to July 2nd of 2016. And the intention was that as of July 2nd, 2016, the time that was remaining on an approval would start to tick away as if it was the day of the approval. So in each of these three cases, these plans are within the six-month window of when they should be approved. And the Permit Extension Act also, I think, was a great piece of legislation. It allowed people that had approvals and people to get approvals to bide their time until the economy got better. I don't know that questionably we're entirely there yet. In each of these cases, additional time is requested. The first plan is for George Savich, which is a three-lot subdivision. It's located at the corner of Feldingville Road and Bachmanville Road. It creates two new building lots, one existing lot. I've put in the agenda item the timeline of what has happened in this plan. It began in September of 2008, and its last extension was granted in August of 2010. At that point, then it became subject to the Permit Extension Act. In this case, the owner is asking for a three-year extension of the approval. I'm recommending that the board extend the approval of plat 1163 for an additional 3 years, subject to the following: that the performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of the required improvements, and the accompanying agreement is signed no later than January 2nd, 2020, or that the required improvements are installed to the satisfaction of the township no later than July 2nd of 2020. I'm asking that the applicant applies for and receives a new NPDES permit from the Delta County Conservation District no later than July 2nd, 2020. Oddly, some governmental approvals above a township level were exempted from the Permit Extension Act, NPDES permits being one of them. I'm also asking that the applicant ensure that renewal of any other expired approvals or permits originally required for the project are reobtained no later than January 2nd, 2020, that the right-of-way deed of dedication is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the curb and sidewalk agreement permit is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the stormwater DMP O&M agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan. I don't believe it's necessary to take any additional action on the waivers that were granted during the original approvals.
Are there any thoughts or comments for Chuck on this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the preliminary final subdivision plan for George Savich, plat number 1163, and that it be extended for an additional 3 years, subject to the conditions outlined by Mr. Hammering.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Court, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that approval is granted unanimously. The next item for consideration is for the extension of conditional approval of the final preliminary final land development and lot consolidation plan for 1601, 1603, 1609, and 1611 East Chocolate Avenue, plot 1198. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This plan acted to combine four tracts of land together, shown on the screen, into a single tract that would result in a lot that's 167 by 170 feet. The applicant then proposed to construct a 6,760 square foot commercial building supported by 35 parking spaces, regular and two handicapped. This plan proposed on-lot stormwater in the form of an open basin in the front of the property and would connect to public water and public sewer facilities, and also proposed the installation of a new fire hydrant at the southeast corner of the site. This plan was originally submitted in July of 2010. I've put a short timeline there. This plan readily became subject to Permit Extension Act almost upon submission. Since the time that, in the case of this plan, it would have another six-month window that's ticking away to January 2nd, 2017. In this case, we contacted the owner, and he's requested a five-year extension of the commercial property, in which time to address the outstanding items. I'm recommending that the board extend the approval of plat 1198 for an additional 5 years, subject to the following: that the performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of the required improvements, and the accompanying agreement is signed no later than January 2nd, 2022. That a letter is received from the Dauphin County Conservation District no later than January 2nd, 2022, approving the erosion and sediment control plan. That two copies of the PennDOT Highway Occupancy Permit and the related plans are provided no later than January 2nd, 2022. And that the applicant ensure the renewal of any other expired approvals or permits originally required for the project no later than January 2nd, 2022.
Any questions from Mr. Emmerich?
I have a couple. Since our comprehensive plan, we encourage people to put the parking lots in the rear. So we're bound by law to uphold or maintain this agreement. And we don't have any say in the design at this time. This is the design that was presented 6 years ago.
That's correct. And certainly in our comprehensive plan, we're promoting parking in the rear. That could only be enforced through the adoption of the new zoning ordinance and only in certain areas. The other thing, though, that we are promoting in both the comprehensive plan and the new zoning ordinance is infill development and redevelopment of existing areas. And this plan certainly does that. And despite the parking in the front, which is not unusual in the Palmdale area, that's my reason for recommending the extension.
It's not unusual, but it's not necessarily attractive.
It's not what we would want, but I can tell you, having worked for a consulting firm, that it's probably $30,000 to $40,000 worth of engineering to produce a plan that would move the parking to the back.
Chuck, could you orient us geographically as to where this project's located?
Sure. So, as we look, I believe that this building here that I'm moving around on is the Almonds paint store. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So then this is west of Almonds towards the village of Hershey. Getting close to the point of Dairy Road and Chocolate Avenue.
And as we're looking at that, to the left would be Wasabi and
down the road a few blocks, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the properties are improved with kind of an odd home pushed to the back of the lot, detached garage, and then older stock homes that have garages to the rear.
So it's sort of out on the periphery of the township, out that way.
Watch that.
Well, No, I'm just saying geographically located, I mean, towards the boundary of Perry Township.
You're getting close to my house.
No, and that's fine. I mean, I'm just geographically oriented.
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. No, it's not near the intersection.
It's
downtown Hershey.
That's correct. Down the heart of Hershey.
No, okay, all right. No, didn't mean to imply anything by
question. Just having some fun.
Just trying to understand where this will be.
We'll all be fun.
Not even that.
So, Chuck, if we were living under the new ordinance, how would it control where this is laid out?
That's a fair question. I didn't dig that deeply. I can tell you the new ordinance has smaller setbacks than the old ordinance. Mm-hmm. The uses that would be permitted there are very similar. Today, this is in the neighborhood commercial zoning district. Our screening for the parking lot, this lot wouldn't be large enough to have mandatory screening. That's at 50 parking spaces. And that's consistent with today's ordinance. You know, other than the goal of trying to get the parking in the back, and then bear in mind too, you know, the parking in the back is something that we'd like to see in our village areas. But in this case, the backyard of the building is really directly into a residential neighborhood.
Right, but so in the new ordinance, it wouldn't be dictated that it has to be.
I don't think so. I think that's recommended.
Right.
Yeah. So how do members of the board here feel about the parking lot out front?
Well, I think that's what Chuck just got done answering. Yeah. Even if with the new ordinance, there's nothing that dictates that they would have to
do that.
Or have to put it in the back.
In the back,
yeah.
And I think it's important to point out that it would, to put the building to the front on the street side is probably not consistent with the rest of the community. That area of the community experiences now. I'm not disagreeing. I can't say I wouldn't like it, but I'm not sure I.
Okay, and that's sort of why I was asking for the orientation as to where it's located.
On that.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments on this particular issue as Chuck zooms in?
Does this extension have to be for 5 years?
It does not. There is no mandatory time for the extensions.
It's going to be those homes there.
So when we look at the paint store that has its parking in the front, the bank does, this is a beauty shop, some in the front, some in the back. It worked with where the house is. Down here's a rather new building, the oral surgery and nail salon that has the parking in the front. This they remodeled a house, so they had to put the parking in the back. As we come down to the pizza shop, the parking is front and back. And as we work our way down, you know, parking in the front, this is the old Pizza Hut. Yeah, it's fairly consistent down through this neighborhood that we have parking.
Is everyone comfortable with the five-year aspect of it as opposed to perhaps shortening that to once again provide the board with some discretion as to when we review this, if project doesn't move forward?
What do we buy in shortening it? I'm just asking.
Well, it just gives us the opportunity to review this again in a shorter time frame in the event, I don't know, something transpires between now and then.
It is currently just single-family residential.
That's correct. That's correct.
Occupied. These are, I presume, occupied structures.
Yes.
Our building is occupied, relatively well-maintained.
They are all occupied. Did you say relatively well-maintained?
I said relatively. It's a subjective word, I know.
Well, unless I hear otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the preliminary final land development plan and lot consolidation plan for 1601, 1603, 1609, 1611 East Chocolate Avenue, plat 1198, and that it be extended for an additional 5 years subject to the terms and conditions described by Mr. Emmerich.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion is approved unanimously. Next item on the agenda is consideration of extension of conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1, plat number 1154. Mr. Trimmer.
Thank you. This is phase one of what was going to be a 500-space parking expansion. This parking lot would consist of 140 spaces. It's on a 10.08-acre site. The parking would be restricted to employees of Chocolate World. The safety of this parking facility has been greatly increased due to the recent relocation of Park Boulevard, which makes this one tough, a little bit tougher. Now, I've put the trail of this plan. This plan started in May of 2008, has received a few extensions. As a matter of fact, while this plan was being extended, we were actually building more parking around Chocolate World to accommodate their employees. Nevertheless, the Hershey Company chose to try and keep this plan alive. And they've done so here. When we notified them that this was coming up, they've asked for a one-year extension. I am supporting the one-year extension despite the fact that even the public road in front of this property has changed. Doing that, because I believe they have a vested right to this, they've now, by virtue of that road changing, as I've mentioned in my report, it's actually even a safer parking lot. Seems to be a good area for employee parking. And I don't know of a reason to take them back through the works if they want to act on this. Now again, they're asking for a rather short 1 year extension as well. So I'm recommending the board approve that based on the following: that the performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of required improvements, and the accompanying agreement is signed no later than January 2nd, 2018. That the comments of HRG's March 30th, 2009 letter regarding BMPs are addressed no later than January 2nd, 2019. That the applicant applies for and receives a new NPDES permit from the Dolphin County Conservation District no later than July 2nd, 2018. That the applicant applies for and receives a new water obstruction and encroachment permit no later than January 2nd, 2018 for the proposed point source discharge to Spring Creek. That the applicant ensures the renewal of any other expired approvals or permits originally required for the project no later than January 2nd, 2018. And finally, that the stormwater BMP O&M agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for Mr. Emmerich?
Chuck, is there a ratio of how many parking spaces you get per square foot of impervious coverage? There seems to be a lot of access and parking only on one side, where maybe you could gain more parking lots with less paving if you put parking on both sides of the travel lane.
Absolutely. It's like when you do residential development, you don't want to build a road and then you put houses on one side because you've just doubled your infrastructure costs, sewer, water. You know, parking lots are the same way. In this case, this property has some built-in restrictions. It has steep slopes. It has floodplain. So I think they've done the best they could with the land they have. Now, this was all actually worked on before I was employed here. So I'm not as familiar with this plan, maybe as some others, but I think it's obvious just looking at the contours what some of the restrictions are as to why they did the layout the way they did it.
And what's the difference between the dark gray parking area and the light gray parking area?
As I said, I'm not as familiar with this plan as some others. Yeah, it might be.
This is, it says the light is proposed porous.
Yes, it is porous. Thank you. Good eyes there, Justin. I've seen that with
the... It has like a gravel material, is that right?
It's often macadam that just has a porosity to it that allows the water to get through.
Right.
And so this is replaced. There's a good bit of pavement that this is actually replacing.
Yeah.
It's an existing parking lot right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments, questions?
And you're satisfied that the direct discharge of the Swatara Creek will be handled by the permit?
Yes, they had obtained that permit. It, again, not everything was subject to the Permit Extension Act as you get higher in the governmental approvals.
I mean, that's my biggest concern about this is the discharge, obviously, to the creek, but I understand that that's been adequately addressed.
Yes. I think Matt remembers this plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll entertain a motion that the approval of the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1, Plat 1154, be extended for one additional year, subject to the terms and conditions described by Mr. Emmerich.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item is F1 through 4, consideration of a partial reduction of the performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision plat for the Enclave and Dairy Plat number 1158. Housekeeping, sir?
It is.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor? Those opposed, and that consideration is granted unanimously. Item G1 through 3, consideration of releasing the maintenance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for Centric Bank, plat number 1214. Housekeeping, sir.
It is.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, and that consideration is granted unanimously. Board and committee information and correspondence. I'll start from my left. Susan? Matt?
Last Wednesday, we had the eighth stakeholders meeting for the stormwater utility down at the municipal building, and we discussed the credit policy.
Thank you. I'll note that the supervisors were provided several letters from residents along Middletown Road indicating their opposition to the zoning change vis-a-vis the Planned Campus West, specifically pertaining to the Planned Campus West proposal between Waltonville Road and Middletown Road. I believe there were four or five of those letters that we received, and that's the only correspondence that I'm aware of at this time. Mr. Foley.
Nothing to report.
Nothing. No. If we could have department reports, Chief.
Nothing.
Bob.
No report.
Tom.
I have nothing.
Barbara. Matt.
Nothing to see.
Sure. Sure. Matt Bonanno.
Neither.
Any questions for Matt? No. Chuck.
Nothing.
Lauren.
Sorry to break the. I have a few things. First, just to let the board know that we did receive notification that we were not selected for funding for the Commonwealth Financing Authority's Greenways, Trails, and Recreation Program. That was an application that we had in for improvements to Chocolate Town Square East. Follow up with DCED, we learned that the application ranked well. However, this program continues to be extremely competitive and pretty political as well. The other piece of information I want to share with you, actually two things. One is that we received notification from the county that they'll be holding the local share hearings this November. The fire company and Vicky's Angels will be sharing a 30-minute spot on Monday, November 21st. I've reached out to Rodney on that. Given the threshold that they're setting this year, these were the only two applicants that were invited to make formal presentations. However, if we would want any of the other applicants that were sponsored to attend, we could give them time then. Those applicants were all notified and they will be given an opportunity to come to a general hearing in December if they so choose, but they're not required to. I am still waiting to hear whether we would be asked to present on our application to the Infrastructure Bank. At that same meeting, they talked about grouping those, but I haven't heard on that yet. Finally, the grant that we did receive for the parking lot, which is a local stormwater BMP implementation program through DEP, we should expect our contract back hopefully by the end of the year. We would then need to look to proceed with final design and get something from Matt for that in terms of a scope and fee. However, the contract will likely be dated July 1 of this year through June 30th of 2018 if you would want to move forward with a proposal from Matt sooner than that.
Thank you, Laura. Any questions for Leslie?
A quick one about the gaming funds and the presentations. Mm-hmm. Do you know if the organizations that have been selected to present, is that an indication of their favorable support, or they just wanted more information from those organizations?
Every year, the latter. Yeah, so all of the applicants are typically requested to come in and make presentations. Given the number of people that now apply to this program, the county has set a threshold, a dollar threshold, in terms of the amount of the request. So the two that will be presenting, the fire company and Vicki's Angels, are the only two that were over the $75,000 threshold that they established this year. Sure.
Anything else, Laura? No? Jim, anything to report?
Just very quickly, we have a thank you letter from Representative Payne for his input and invitation to the S1Cs for the cutting edge video part of the award.
Thank you. If there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $731,126.36 and payroll in the amount of $321,010.89. Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, and those approvals are granted unanimously. At this time, I'll entertain and open the floor for our second session of visitor and public comments. Anybody who wishes to avail themselves of the microphone, please step up to the podium, identify yourself by stating your name and your place of residence, and I ask that you be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less. No takers, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And this meeting is adjourned.